Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the
stairs. We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about Christina Cavanaugh being back on the show, folks. She's a good friend. She's an internationally recognized expert on the subject of email, and that's a good topic to be an expert in too, folks, because we all need help with this, because our email has become very important to more and more of us, and managing the email and making sure that we don't let it get, we don't get upside down, we don't get in over our head with our email, making sure that we respond to the right people and that we wade through all the junk. That's a challenge, and Christina is here to help us with that. She's the author of Managing Your Email, and she's our good friend. Christina, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And now you're in Toronto, right? Outside of Toronto?
Yes, I'm in London, which is about London, Ontario, which is about 2 hours west of Toronto.
2 hours. Okay, I was thinking it was closer. But anyway, but it's my, now, if I understand you correctly, there is no snow up there?
That is correct. There is no snow here.
You guys didn't pay the bill or something? What's going on?
Well, maybe we paid in other ways. This is a saving grace for us.
Wow. Well, I bet you, I mean, your sleds are probably getting rusted up there, aren't they?
Well, that's just a fallacy that, you know, when you go north of the 49th, that there's just igloos and dog sleds.
Oh, and that's not the case, huh?
Oh, that's not the case. You'd have to go 1,000 miles north of us.
Oh, 1,000 miles. Okay. You know, I did something recently that you might be interested in. My audience probably won't be, but you probably will be. I bought a BlackBerry.
Oh, dear.
Actually, I already had a BlackBerry, but it wasn't a phone BlackBerry.
Oh.
It was just a PDA.
Yes.
But I have a little BlackBerry that is the epitome of technology convergence.
Ah. Now, tell me, Jim, how often do you use it?
I use it every day.
Okay.
I use every day. Now, I will have to tell you, and let me tell you about what the capability is. As you know, this one has the ability not only to get phone calls, to make places to make phone calls, but it also, of course, they've always had the contact management information capability. So, I got all my contact information in there. But I also can send and receive email, and I can also surf the internet to a text degree, not to a graphic degree. But the thing is I can send and receive email on this thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a little bit obnoxious, you know, thinking that I can never get away from it now.
Well, that's why Blackberries are nicknamed Crackberries. Because what can tend to happen is that people have it on them all the time. If they strap it to their belts or things, it will vibrate when a new email comes in. And what people tell me is that they just can't resist. They've got to, you know, wherever they are, they've got to whip it out and they've got to look at it.
You're right. No, you're right. I was around a group of people a couple of months ago. All the managers and executives of this company had their own BlackBerry. It was in a little holster on their belt, and we'd be talking. Heck, it was one time we were on the golf course, and every time I looked over, they were whipping this thing out and checking something.
That's right.
Now, I have to tell you that I don't have that addiction yet.
Well, and the key word there is yet, and I think that's the thing that people need to manage is BlackBerries are a good thing, especially if for your listeners, a lot of them are out on the road all the time. They're not sort of sitting in the office per se. And it's a great thing to have because you can keep in touch with customers and keep on top of things. The downside of it is that it becomes so consuming that we forget that you need to focus our attention on other things. And the next thing you know, we're always dealing with the BlackBerry.
I don't think I'm going to get upside down with this one. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't, when I travel, this is when I'll use it for the email, is when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I use my contact information when I'm out of my office. But to me, the email is going to be handy in case you and I can't talk on the phone And it's easier for me to send you a quick note and say yes or no, or you to do the same thing to me. That's how I plan on using the email. In fact, I don't even have it turned on while I'm in town.
Well, and that's one of the good tips, you know, for people, you know, with proper BlackBerry use is we need to establish in our own minds boundaries around when we use it and when we don't. Because if we don't, then it ends up becoming something that's 24/7 and we never get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spoken to people who have said to me that they've actually gotten rid of their BlackBerries because they just couldn't, you know, handle being on call all the time.
So it wasn't anything wrong with the BlackBerry. It was their own inability to set boundaries.
Well, that's true. And some people don't even realize how rude it appears to others.
It is.
You know, I've had situations where you're sitting having a breakfast with five other people and all of a sudden one person at the breakfast table is pulling out their BlackBerry and answering messages.
Right. No, and I think that's very rude. All I've ever done is if I had an important thing that I was expecting, is I would set the phone or the BlackBerry on discreet, and I would tell the people I'm with, you know, folks, I've got something I may have to take. If I do, I'll leave the table. But typically, I try to, you know, I completely avoid that. But I keep mine in my pocket when I'm out. I don't put it on my belt. My wife won't let me carry a holster.
She's a smart woman.
She makes me put it in my pocket.
Yeah. So I think that the thing with BlackBerry use is to just make sure that, you know, we've got proper protocols in place, that there is a time and place for it. And as you say, if you're waiting on an important message and you're with a group of people, let them know in advance and excuse yourself. And then all is well.
Right. Okay. What are some new things that... that we need to know about email? Have you come up with any new protocols, any new things that you've seen out there?
Well, I think some of the new things, it comes from people who, I've been at seminars recently, and people have talked about things like concerns about, do they file messages out of their inbox? You know, what is appropriate use, especially in a smaller office?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to have a big policy around certain things? You know, so those seem to be the kinds of things. I had one individual talk to me about they've got a boss that tends to use email as a bit of a weapon where they're checking what time people send emails.
Oh, yeah.
You've got this sort of bravado of impressing people because, you know, you've sent an email at 11 o'clock at night. Or
right. I see what you mean. Stand by, Christina. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm also going to ask Christina about some of the security issues. Like fishing. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Christina Cavanaugh is our guest, and let me spell her name for you, C-A-V-A-N-A-G-H, no extra U's in there anywhere, and her book is called Managing Your Email Thinking Outside the Inbox. Christina, tell us where the book's available, please.
The book is available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Do you have a blog or a website or anything you'd like to send us to for yourself?
I have a website, which is www.christinacavanaugh, all one word, .com.
All right, so check that out. And they can find tips and things like that on emailing on your website?
Yes, they can.
All right, so I hope you'll check that out, folks. Okay, you were talking to us about how some people use email as to manipulate people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I've heard some of that, in particular from people in smaller business where, you know, everybody's more in contact with each other. And it just seemed that there's a rash of... you know, emails being sent by the boss at like 7 a.m. and expecting answers or
right.
don't get answers.
Why aren't you answering this?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, I've had people ask me, well, what do you do? You know, and I basically try to say that you need to be a bit subtle. The book is helpful, but, you know, saying that I've been at an email seminar that talked about a number of things, people are feeling beleaguered, and it's better to keep emails contain them within business hours. Mm-hmm. So I try to sort of give people these kinds of suggestions, because it can be a problem in a smaller office. Like, how you use email is a lot more, is a trickier than in a larger organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what do? Yell over the wall, or do you send an email to the very next person? You know, so you need to really kind of manage how that communication is going to be effective in a smaller office.
Well, you know, I met a guy once, and this has happened more than once, I guess, but I'm thinking of one particular thing. I met a guy once at a conference, and he wanted to sell me some stuff, and so we exchanged cards. I didn't tell him I was interested in buying his stuff. He just started telling me he wanted to sell me some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went home, and the next day I got an email from him,
mm-hmm.
and he still wanted to sell me some stuff. Well, I was pretty busy. I'd been out of town. I wasn't, you know, his answering his email wasn't on the top of my priority list.
No.
Well, I didn't answer his email that day. And the next day I get a note saying, you know, perhaps you didn't get my email. Here it is again. You know, and so I did, that sort of put me off a little bit, and I didn't answer his email intentionally that time.
Yeah.
And the next day I got a snotty little note from him.
Uh-oh.
And let me tell you something, folks. Bad form. That is not good.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. And part of my research has talked over the years about vendors, suppliers, and associations abusing the privilege of putting you on a mailing list. E-marketing is fine, but we've got to be very judicious about
right.
it.
Right.
That's why I sort of recommend that, you know, sometimes when you go out to these trade show and events, you have separate business cards printed up without your email address.
Wow, of all the people, the queen of email, I never would have thought you'd say that, Christina.
Well, but it works. It prevents super, because once you're on a list, it's, you know, as people know, it's very difficult to get off.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's really awful if somebody... to abuse that, folks. That's the worst thing in the world you can do in with regard to technology is to basically breach a trust that people give you.
That's exactly right. I think a lot of people, you know, feel invaded, or, you know, it's intrusive when you're sending emails and then you're sending follow-ups. You didn't get this. And, you
right.
know, we've got to use some common sense. You know, if we didn't want to sort of see someone face to face, I mean, we'd have to try to look at a way to be polite and just, you know, walk away. But email doesn't allow us to walk away. It,
right.
you know, allows somebody to keep pummeling at us.
But it is easy to trash, and you don't have to answer it. You can throw it. You don't have to, and it doesn't ring like the phone.
Yeah.
Speaking of invaded, though, Christina, before you go, I want to talk a little bit about phishing.
Mm-hmm.
Spell fish for us in the way that I mean it.
P-H. I S H.
Yeah, folks, not like the scaly one. This is
not the scaly one.
This is different. And do you know why they named it? Why they named it that? What is there an acronym there somewhere?
There might be, Jim, but
I don't know what it is either. But the thing is, tell us what phishing is.
Yeah, what phishing is? It's the electronic version of sending information to you, looking legitimate, like it comes from a large company, and the purpose is to solicit your personal information,
mm-hmm.
either credit card, bank account numbers, or, you know, passwords.
And folks, here's the thing to remember. If somebody emails you anything, I don't care how legitimate it looks, I don't care if it's your mother and she asked for this information by email, don't give it out, period. Don't do it to anybody. The big companies who you think are sending you this, they never do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's just the electronic version of the old-time scam.
Phone scams.
Either people coming to the door or at the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where people would phone you up and they
Christina, these things are compelling. I mean, the emails look correct. The logos looked right. It's amazing how they've been able to do this, haven't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, well, with the technology, you can cut and paste and
yeah.
do all these types of things. And you're right. I mean, they look so compelling that so many people fall for this. But you're quite right in saying to your listeners that if any company is asking you for any of your information, don't do it. Just ignore it.
Unless it's in the process, you know it's a secure situation where you're doing business with them online. Thank you, Christina, for being here. Good job today. ChristinaKavanaugh.com is the website. Managing your email is the book. Thanks, Christina. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim.
Quick break, 29 after. Right back with Gene Siciliano. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.